All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel. And we're preaching on Bible births. Bible births. And we're thinking about, of course, Abraham, when Isaac was born. He was God's plan for his life. And I truly believe, as Paul lets us know, that these are an allegory, an application to our own personal lives, that God's plan for your life is not a choice that you eeny, meeny, miny, mo through, but it's a birth that takes place in your life. And you'll know when God's plan is unfolding. And you're following what His will is, God's plan. And one of the signs of Isaac is some joy and laughter in life. Thank God. And of course, there's some others. Tomorrow night, I'll probably go back and preach on Moses. And emphasize how that God birthed a prophet or a word. And of course, all His words have to be birthed. And boy, wouldn't Israel been in a bad shape if God hadn't birthed a word to get them out of there. And wouldn't you be in a bad shape if God hadn't taken this book and birthed a word in your life? Showed you who you were and what you needed and got you out of your mess. But He's still birthing words for us. You may need a word this time tomorrow. And it may need to be a fresh word. But God's got plenty of words to birth. And I'm glad He does, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm relying on His word. To keep me alive and going. But tonight I want to jump over to Samuel and read some verses there concerning this matter of a birth and how that Samuel is birthed to Hannah. And again, I'm emphasizing. And I do want to say emphatically that everything God does, He does through a birth. Everything God does, He does through a birth. Creation came through a birth. Incarnation came through a birth.
Amen.
Salvation comes through a birth. And all of those things that God wants to accomplish in your life, He will birth those things in you so that they won't be Toys R Us dolls. They won't be Walmart play pretties. But it'll be something that's alive within you. Being, as your pastor said, being in perfect tense, which means constantly happening, born again. And Paul said that he travailed in pain that they might be birthed again, that you might be born again. Somebody said, well, I'm saved. Well, you say, I'm born again. Well, you might need to get born again again. I'm not talking about that initial salvation. But I'm talking about that work of God in your life that's going to keep you alive and youthful. And keep you moving on. But let's read a few verses here in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1. No, let's scoot on back there. If you will, to verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Notice what she said. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then we'll look, if you will, in verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. And then, if you will, drop down in verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood before you here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And then in chapter number 3, in verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And then chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And the word of Samuel came unto all Israel. And then I want to go one other place. Chapter number 16. And the scripture tells us in verse number 20. Chapter number 16. And I'm looking for the verse where, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went unto Ramah. I'm interested in this Bible birth. Samuel's birth. And I want to preach tonight on what I would call the purposes of God. Samuel is a birth, as I look at it, as we analyze it, it is a birth of purpose. If there ever was a young boy born in this world, that very few chapters let us know that there was a reason for him. It is this birth. We see it in several ways that I will point out to you and emphasize. But God brings a Samuel onto the scene because he has a purpose. Somebody said, well, I thought that it was Hannah that wanted a Samuel. It was. But I can tell you somebody that wanted a Samuel, if it's possible, even more than Hannah did. And you know who that was? God. The Lord had some things He wanted accomplished. And He needed somebody to accomplish those things. And so it was in His design and His will to move on a young lady and to birth a son by the name of Samuel to fulfill the purposes of God. And if there ever was a young man, let me word it this way, if there ever was somebody that had a purpose in life, it was Samuel. Amen. You know, there have been a lot of great people lived many years, sadly to say, without any reason or purpose whatsoever, just moving from one situation to the next, whatever it may be. One great example of that, of course, is Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. A man that was so wealthy that he could buy anything he ever wanted to buy, go anywhere he ever wanted to go, see everything he wanted to see, marry anybody he ever wanted to marry. He had it all. But yet when he summarized his life, he said it was vanity of vanity. That word vanity there simply means like a child sticking down that little old thing with the that blows bubbles. It means nothing more than emptiness, vain bubbles. And how many people are birthed into this world, live and die, and their life is a big old bubble. They never had a purpose. They never had a reason. They never knew why they were here. How empty that is. And of course, they tell us in all of these Eastern religions that what they're doing is they're seeking to find the reason for life. Searching young people constantly to see why they are here. Not Samuel. Oh, I'm going to tell you, he had a purpose from birth. And I'm here to tell you that God, in this application that we're seeing, as Paul talks about the analogy, that your purpose and reason in life is not going to be found out in a school, in grammar school or kindergarten or in college or whatever it may be. But your real reason for life is going to have to be birthed into you for you to know why you are here and to rest in the fact that God Almighty has a purpose for your every day. And how blessed it is to look at the sparkle in someone's eyes, no matter what age they are, when they know that God is providentially in charge and God has a reason for why they are alive. He's got a purpose. A purpose. I had a fellow ask me one time, he was reading the paper. He saw where a well-known doctor, family doctor in that town, had closed up his business and was going to some place, some mission work in some foreign country. Not just for a month or two, he had shut it all down. And the man asked me inquisitively, he said, why would a doctor making all that money give that all up just to go to a mission field? I said to him, it's very simple. Purpose and reason. God Almighty birthed within that old doctor's heart a reason for his life. And he wasn't going to live short of that reason. He was going to fulfill that reason, even if it meant no money on a mission field. And honey, how rich it is to be able to fulfill the joys of God's purposes in your life and in my life, and to know that God has done a work in us and through us. That's what keeps me going. is to know that there's a purpose and a reason that God has birthed in me, as He did the Apostle Paul when He birthed within him that mystery of the grace of God, that gospel. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I got a reason. I got a purpose. Samuel was and had and lived out his reason and his purpose. My wife is here tonight. I don't think she'll mind me sharing this. Most preachers know it anyway if they're around me. They aggravate me about it. But we pastored for 22 and a half years there in the mountains, and of course she was as much a part of that as I was in everything that took place, playing the piano, the youth choir, whatever. And when we left for a short period of time, she kept saying to me, honey, I can't find my purpose anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I didn't have an answer for that, because I don't know the purposes of God for your individual lives other than the general purpose of magnifying Christ, as we'll notice. I don't know where he's using you daily. It may be there in the library where you work, or on the job, or it may be the influence on those grand young'uns or those children, or whatever it may be, something that you labor in physically for the Lord. I don't know. I can't tell someone what that is. But buddy, I liked it when the day the Lord told her what she's supposed to do. She come in to me weeping. She said, honey, I know what I'm supposed to do. I said, she said, I got my purpose. I said, what is it? She said, take care of you. And don't nobody mess with that either. Huh? You think I'm gonna fool with that? And brother, she does. I mean, does. Cuts my hair, gets my clothes ready, does. She does it. And I'm telling you the truth. I can't even mow the yard. I mean, I went out here to get a lawnmower, and she said, get off of that. Go in there and study. Do something you're supposed to do. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I like to tease these fellas standing around talking about how hot it is when they mow. I said, what, y'all not married? But I realized that God did that, not me. But if I'd have told her that wouldn't have worked. I'll guarantee you that. But I don't know what the purpose of God is. But I'm here to tell you that God doesn't have you in this world just living out your life as another individual to die on the other end and take you to heaven. He had a reason. He has a purpose. He has a Samuel birth for you. As he does for all of his children. Now, let me just mention three simple things. Brother Ernie went and got me a small bottle of water, and I was glad because I usually preach as long as the water lasts. And somebody told me that that's why your pastor brings a jug. He can just keep pouring. But three things as far as the purpose of Samuel and the purposes of God, these Bible births. First of all, there was a purpose in Samuel because there was a womb that was empty. A womb that was empty. That's what this story begins with here. Is a Hannah whose womb is empty. And of course, those that are Bible students realize that for an Israelite woman, she only had one purpose in life, and that was to birth a man child. Because the promise to Eve is that this promised seed would come, this man-child would come through this woman. And so she had the hopes, and I'll preach on it probably tomorrow night. That's why I think that Moses' parents, when they looked at him and said in three different places he was a goodly child, what they were saying was, this could be him. And of course, we realize that he came through Mary. And every mother wanted to have a child. And if she could not birth her husband a child, she had no reason, no purpose for living. She was void. She was empty. She was, as this woman was, burdened greatly as she cried out before God, because she knew that she had a womb that was desolate and empty. And she wanted it filled. And God had somebody in mind to fill that empty womb. Well, I'm here to tell you, an empty womb is not bad. That's the workings of God's fixing to birth a child in you, is he creates a void. And when he creates that void within you, you begin to feel that emptiness. You begin to feel that uselessness. You begin to feel that there's no purpose. And then she began to cry out and say, oh God, would you fill the empty void that is within me? Would you give me new life? I can't live like this. Her husband said, would you liven up? Pick up your spirits. Look around here. There's all kind of kids running around here. Enjoy them. And by the way, am I not better to you than 10 sons? He said, that's all on the outside. You don't know what a void there is on the inside. And I've got to have something take place. See, that's what happened in Brother Dennis. Is it Dennis? Brother Kenny. That's what happened in Brother Kenny's heart. There opened up a void in there. Finally. When that void opened up, y'all could have said to him, oh, don't get all so upset. Come on, Kenny, just come down here. We'll baptize you, and we'll sign you up in the church and let you sit on the front seat and send you through the Sunday school classes. And you would have said, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm empty on the inside, and I got to have something to take place on the inside. Now, I'm here to tell you, where there is no void, there will be no birth. Now, we can go around and try in this hour to persuade people to become religious and join up with us, but if they don't have a void, there's not going to be a birth, because they don't realize they need that birth. No void. In other words, if you don't want to be saved, you're not going to be saved. If you don't want to go to heaven, you're not going to go to heaven. If you don't want the fullness of the Spirit, you're not going to have the fullness of the Spirit. If you don't want it, you're not going to have it. But thank God for the day when that void, that hunger, that crying out within you that says, I am so empty, I need a life. I need something worth living for. And God's in heaven saying, I got her about ready. Samuel, she's about ready. Fixing to send you down, boy. And she goes and she cries and she weeps and she begs. That's a wonderful time when our hearts get so hungry for God's purpose and God's will to fill that void that is within us. There's a womb that's empty, but Samuel's got a purpose to fill that. And oh, what a difference he makes in her life. Can you tell the difference in the prayer after Samuel and the prayer before Samuel? Huh? No appetite before. No joy before. No desire to even live. She doesn't even care about life. It doesn't mean anything to her. Nothing means anything to her. She doesn't even want food. I don't think she was Baptist. Couldn't have been. But anyway. But oh, after God filled that void and she brought that little baby, she said, I've got a purpose now. He's a reason. I'm going to give them to the Lord. Samuel became a purpose in her life. The purpose of God. Filling that empty womb. Don't you like that?
Yeah, I do.
Entombing and occupying something that had been so void, as Solomon said, so empty. The second thing I would point out to you is that Samuel is God's birth purpose in her life. Oh, when God births a purpose in your life, a reason for living, Samuel filled the womb that was empty. But I noticed over in chapter number 3, not only was there a womb that was empty, but there was a word that needed to be expounded. Have you noticed what kind of day and age that Israel was in? It was in a religious spiral that was heading downward. Everything was religious, but it was going to hell. Spiraling downward. Well, I don't know about you, and I don't want to get in no big argument, but there's one place, and only one that I can think of, that I agree with our president when he said America is not a Christian nation. Oh, maybe we are as far as word name is concerned, but honey, if she is, she's spiraling down. You don't see no identifications that she is, I'll tell you that, other than just steeples with symbols, is about all there is. And Samuel's living in that day. And the Bible said the word of the Lord was precious in those. In other words, they hadn't heard from God in who knows when.
Yeah.
But before it's over with, in chapter number 4, the Bible said, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel's got a purpose. Yes, he's got a purpose. There is a womb that is empty, but there is a word that needs to be expounded and expelled and needs to be preached. And God uses Samuel all of his days to tell Israel, well, thus saith the Lord, he has finally raised up another prophet. Samuel has a word. Has a word. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God wants to birth within you a purpose to fill the voids that are so present around us and to deliver that word that God has given you to deliver, to expound that word. I don't want to emphasize that too much because that's going to be my entire message probably tomorrow night, but I do want to say that if America ever needed a life birthed word, she needs it now. Oh, I mean, we need a word. I don't know where, I mean, I know that we, you know, as far as voting and all this running for office. I don't know how to feel about all of that, but I do know this much. That's not going to change America. The only thing that's going to change America is we've got to have a word from God. And we've got to have some people that have had a word birthed in them so they can share that word. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're goners. And I'm not one of those dark, dismal, painting black pictures preachers. But I don't think there's any hope for America. I'm just going to tell you this right now. Unless God sends a fresh word.
Yes, brother. Yes, brother.
And that word is heard. And Samuel, for those 80 years, became God's word for Israel. How vital, how important he was in the dealings with Saul, because he kept a word from God before Saul. And then how important he was for the country, because he kept a word before them, and even before the priests and so on. He kept a word there. Brother, they needed a word birthed from God. The womb was emptied. The word needed expounded. And then in chapter number 16, of course, there was a work of enthroning or exaltation that had to take place. David is God's man and David is God's king. But Saul doesn't know it, and he doesn't want him to be. And there's nobody else in Israel, even though they like him, that has the power to make him, to put the king where the king needs to be. But thank God there's a little old boy that was born to a woman by the name of Hannah, that God had a purpose for his life to magnify that king and lift him up and let others see him on the throne when they poured the oil on him and the Spirit of God came upon him. He was throwing light on the king. He was exalting the king. And I can't help but think that God's purpose for his life, I don't think God had anybody else in mind for that. I think from his birth on, I'll tell you, God worked on him and made him what he was and gave him that horn of oil in that office to come and pour oil on the king so that others would know and David would know that he's the next king in Israel. And if anything this world needs to know, it's not that we're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. They need to know who the king is. And blessed be the day, as the Apostle Paul said, I desire to know nothing among you save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul said, that's my purpose. Hey, children, I got one purpose in this world. And my one purpose with all the energies that I have that God gives me is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and let others see him on the throne of my life. High and lifted up. In whatever way that God allows my little feeble self to do so. To lift him up. And isn't it an honor? It didn't take a lot for him to pour oil on him. But yet God made him the man to pour that oil on him. And there's some things in life that may seem simple to you, but they're going to be simple ways of magnifying Christ in the eyes of others. In the eyes of the children, the grandchildren, the people that you work with, God will give you the ability to magnify Christ in these simple, simplistic ways so that others can see him and know that he is Lord in your life.
Yeah.
Just those little, sometimes insignificant things that others may overlook and not know anything about and may not be broadcast it, but God has birthed it in your heart to do it and to do it faithfully and to be a blessing in doing it. And somebody else is able to witness Christ because of that. And that purpose is born in you. It's not something that you're doing because of a religious command, but you're doing it because God wants you to do that. There's a church, Freedom Baptist Church, up in Aylersville, around Taylorsville, North Carolina, that I preach in about every year. And there's a certain man there that takes care of all the grounds. It's a lot of work. He takes care. There's a parsonage there. He mows all of that. He mows all the church. And then they have a graveyard back there that he has to weed eat and he has to mow. And we had our fifth wheel up there parked. We take it up there. And a couple of years ago, he was out there mowing. Of course, I see him out there every year. But he was out there. And I told my wife, I watched him out there. And he looked like he was having such a good time. I said, I'm on when he takes a break, I'll go out there and talk to him because I was scared he might have an extra weed eater. And I said, when he takes a break, I'm gonna go out there and talk to him a little bit. So he took a break and I stepped out there and I got to talking to him, had some great fellowship in the Lord, and I said, you do all this mowing around here? And he said, well, yeah, I do. I said, well, let me tell you about it. He said about 7 years ago, said I had a massive heart attack. They didn't think I was going to live, and I was in the hospital for so many weeks. And he said I got out and said I was still feeble and just get my energy back. And he said I come to church that Sunday, first Sunday I could. When I went to step up, he said I kind of looked out there, and he said it didn't look bad, but he said the grounds didn't look as good as what the Lord was telling me they needed to look. And he said, the Lord said, I want you to take care of all this out here. He said, Lord, I'd love to, but I just had a massive heart attack and bypasses. And they telling me I may never be able to do anything again. He said, the Lord said, you'll take care of it. I'll give you the heart to do it. And he said, for 7 years, nobody helping him now. He said, I come out here, and he said, I mow, and I weed, and man, I mean, it looked like a golf course. And he said, tears come in his eyes. He said, you ought to see what a time me and the Lord has. Now, nobody had told me that. I could just tell that there was something working in that old boy's heart while he was a-mowing and weed-eating. And I had to find out. And, honey, the truth of the matter is, God, to everybody else, that man ought to mean anything. But, honey, the Lord was exalted on that day when I talked to him. And when you walk down there and look at those grounds, you'll see the Lord is exalted in a man who has committed himself. He's got a purpose. Somebody said, what's his purpose? A mow and weed eat a yard for Jesus. Amen. Until he dies or the Lord comes back. Somebody said, that ain't much of a purpose, honey. I'm going to tell you something. That's a great purpose if God puts it in your heart. Huh? Amen. Your purpose may be just to go down there at the rest home and sit beside an old man, an old woman's bed and pray with them a little bit once or twice a week. But I'm telling you, that's a glorious purpose if God puts it in there. Your purpose may be to come out here and vacuum these floors and make sure the house is guarded. But if God's put it in your heart, you'll have a jubilee. And you won't sit around grumbling because nobody don't help you. Because it ain't nobody else's purpose. It's yours. I noticed that old man, he didn't say, yep, yeah, I do it every, and you know what, these low down church members, ain't one of them have come out here with another weed eater. Truth of the matter is, he probably didn't want them out there because him and the Lord was too busy fulfilling their purpose in life. I'm wondering, has God birthed a purpose in you? Are you just sort of getting by in life? Oh, you're religious. You're coming to church and you're probably saved. But Lord, to pin down any kind of reason for living, you wouldn't have no idea. I want to tell you something. The Lord's got a Samuel for you. Somebody said they could tell I had grandyoungs because I was patting that baby like that. The Lord's got a Samuel for you. And I'm going to tell you, I've got a daughter-in-law and a son just had twins. Just had twins. My wife's got a picture if you'd like to see. I went to sleep with both of them in the bed Friday. Was that when that's on? You ought to see the picture of them. Both of them laying on the bed there and me and big old hoss laying beside them. I don't think you got me though, did you? But why don't you call Hannah up and say, "What you doing today? But you ain't got nothing to do, have you?" Oh, nothing besides trying to take care of twins and a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. I ain't got nothing to do. Oh, she got a reason. That's just in a physical sense. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to birth within all of his youngins the joy of a purpose of serving him, no matter what it may be. Samuel is a birth of a purpose. Aren't you glad you got a reason? Yeah. Brother Gene?
Yes, sir.
Got a reason. I'm glad I got a purpose.